to the Meaningful Work, Meaningful Life podcast, the show that empower you to redefine the life you want and live your best life now. I am Francine Belayi, your host, digital and change strategist, specialized in personal branding. I am also a speaker and author of the book, Personal Branding in the Digital Age, How to Become a Known Expert, Thrive and Make a Difference in a Connected World. I am super thrilled to bring you inspirational stories, strategies, and practical tips to get more meaning in your work and in your life, earn more money, and lead a movement to change the world. I am on a mission to help purpose-driven entrepreneurs who struggle to attract their ideal clients. When they work with me, they find a clear, profound message that positions them as an authority in their field, easily attract their ideal client, and impact thousands of people globally. One of the biggest problems I see with purpose-driven entrepreneurs is that they've got big ideas and great vision. But when you look at their brand, you can't see any of that, which means they are putting all this work, their heart and their soul into it, but they are not really seeing the return because nobody knows what they do. It doesn't have to be that way, and I would love to help you with that. I am offering a mini brand audit session so I can look at where you are with your brand, where you want to be, and together we look at the biggest things that are getting in your way. It is completely free and is 30 minutes that can radically change the way you see your brand and how others see it as well. To apply for a mini brand audit, go to francinebelayi.com/audit. That's francinebelayi.com/audit. I'd love to know a little bit more about yourself. Who are you, my lovely listeners who are listening to me? I'd like to learn a little bit more about you, what you love, what you, who you are, where you are when you are listening to this podcast. So I have a podcast survey on my website, francinebelayi.com/podcast, and then you're going to find a button which is survey. And I'd like to let me know actually who you are and, you know, what you like about this podcast so I can best serve you. Well, today I have the great pleasure to have on the show Thomas Fabry, adventurer, jet pilot, helicopter pilot, author, speaker, fitness guru, inventor, two times author, and he climbed 6 of the 7 summits of the continent and much, much more. He's going to tell us all about this. Hi, Thomas. Welcome to the Meaningful Work, Meaningful Life podcast.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. You know, when I filled out your form, I was like, you know, I want to get on this show. I want to get on this show. And I think what you're doing is great. It's just great work. I mean, I think for you to step out into your purpose and really want to, and what you're doing is really changing lives, right? I mean, it's a difficult thing, but I think in order to do that, you probably changed your life.
Yes.
You know, along the way. And that's why you're doing this. And that's why we do what we do, right? Mm-hmm. Because we want to inspire others to live their best life, correct?
Now, that is it. Live your best life now. That's the tagline of the podcast. So tell me in your own words what you currently do.
Okay, well, I've narrowed it down, you know, because I only have so much time to focus, but, you know, I've always been told, you know, oh, just focus on one thing, but I have to live my life, and my life is based on my dreams that I have. So, you know, when I was a little kid, little boy, I used to dream about Jacques Cousteau. You know,
are you French? Your name sounds French, Thomas.
Italian.
Baba. Do you? Italian. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Jacques Cousteau. Okay.
Yeah, we used to see Jacques Cousteau a lot.
But, you know, I used to watch his show as a little boy, and I'm like, God, I want to be like that, but in my own version, right? So, but I went through a lot of turmoil, but, you know, now I'm flying jets, I'm flying helicopters, I've written two books, and I have a third one on the way, and that's titled From Zero to Hero. You know, going from where I was in my earlier life to where I am now and going on, speaking. And, you know, I never thought I'd be in front of large crowds speaking, but telling my story. And that's an easy thing for me now because I own my story.
Yeah.
And building a business. I'm, you know, I'm climbing my own Everest now, even though that's my next mountain, is going to Nepal and climbing Everest.
When is it? When do you think you...
Probably next year in 2021. Mm-hmm. This year, we thought we were going to be going, but everything, as you know...
exactly. Yeah, that is really fascinating, Thomas, what you've been up to and your dreams and all those things that you have already accomplished. And, you know, the book also that you are writing, this one, How to Go from Zero to Hero. When is it going to come?
Probably within 2 years, because I'm still, and my wife, Rhonda, she may be floating around here somewhere. She does the editing for me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And, we work together as a team, and this is interesting. I have to tell you, because you'll appreciate this as a woman. You know that saying, you know, behind every great man, there's a woman, you know.
Yes, and that's true, right?
I turned that around. In front of every great man, there's a woman pulling him along.
Yeah, that's
what she does for me. You know, she supports me in all my adventures and all my dreams and just go for it, you know. And when I'm struggling, as we all do, you know, when we hit those valleys in life, you know, I just open up to her and I tell her what I'm struggling about. And she knows, you know, she knows me very well. Mm. You know, so, I'm on this just amazing journey, and things that I dreamed about as a little boy. But, you know, there's more to that story. Things just didn't happen. And, oh, life is wonderful.
Yes, we were saying offline, we would have known if there was a manual for how to do life, right?
You know, there could be, but it would have to be an individual manual for individuals, because, you know, the way the education system is today, it was kind of built years ago on the industrial age, and education doesn't nurture the individual. Because I failed at school. I did. I didn't really graduate high school. I got a blank diploma. I never went to college, you know, but I ended up becoming a captain at a major airline and flying with individuals who graduated from the Naval Academy, the Air Force Academy, and they were like, how did you get here? Hard work. But once I was there, I knew that if I could achieve this, then I could go on to achieve anything. If you dream it and believe it, you can achieve it. That isn't a struggle, but you can achieve it.
That's what they say. What drives you beyond your dream? Why do you want to achieve this dream, actually? What is behind this thing?
Because I'm only here once. There isn't, as far as I know, Francine, there isn't a second round at living life. And the more that I pursue, the more that I want to pursue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wasn't lying or kidding when I said my purpose is to inspire everyone that I meet to live their best life. Mm-hmm. And So for in order for me to inspire them to live their best life, I have to live my best life.
Yes.
So it goes back to living this life that I dream about. And I believe the good Lord put these dreams in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
In, you know, faith over fear.
Yes.
Faith over fear. Most people, and yeah. I mean most people, and you know this very
yeah.
well.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 95% of the people, yeah. or that's why we're the one percenters, right?
Yeah.
That's why we're the one percenters. It's true.
Yeah.
Most people are afraid. They're afraid
yeah.
to
yeah.
talk to their parents.
Yeah.
You know, they're afraid to talk to their children. They're mm. afraid to go and pursue these dreams that mm. they have,
mm.
right? I want to be a musician, an author, a speaker,
yeah.
or
yeah.
whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Fear of criticism, fear
yeah.
of loss of love, it just goes on and on.
Exactly, exactly. Based on the conditioning and also, yes, as you say, you know, as, you know, they don't have that, you know, thinking of, okay, so if I don't do that, as you say, you have only one life as far as we all know. So if you don't do that now, when?
Yeah, and, you know, I plan on living a long life, you know. I do. I, you know, at least over 120 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, this, and I'm continually reminded of this. I buried my mom last week.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Sorry
about that.
You know, that's okay. You know, she lived to 85 years old and we all flew in from around the country to be with her. And, you know, life should be celebrated. But most people are buried with their dreams inside of them.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
I think that's a tragedy.
Yep.
And I believe, and I believe this, that we all have something to give.
Yeah.
Right? But we're afraid to give.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier,
yeah.
self-love. Mm-hmm. Right? If you don't love yourself first,
yep.
you don't have
anything
to give.
Yeah. You can't love other people. And then the society has us to believe that we have to give first or we have to take care of everybody else and then not taking care of ourselves. But, you know, as, you know, you are in aviation, when the masks come, they say, put your mask first, right? Because if you do put the mask on somebody else first, you know, by the time you come to yourself, you may not be there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, you have to almost uneducate yourself, because the way we're educated, you know, they want to keep you in this box. You know, this is what you need to learn. You need to learn how to take tests so you can go on to, you know, do what we tell you to do.
Mm.
And I rebelled against all of that.
Mm.
I just, you know, I like to say that when I was a little kid, I was very happy. When I was a little boy, I was very happy. But that happiness was taken away from me and beaten out of me. And, you know, so from my early years to late into my late 20s, I was on a very self-destructive path, very in and out of jail quite a few times, homeless, three marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Bankrupt, you know. I remember, you know, walking around on the street, and, you know, sometimes you see money, pennies or whatever, laying on the street, and you just, you know, walk by them. And I never walk by them now, but I can remember.
Yeah.
Well, if you pick up a penny off the street, if you look at it, at least in U.S. dollars, it says, "In God we trust."
Mm-hmm.
In God we trust, you know. But I can remember looking for pennies because I wanted to buy a can of soup. You know, I lived in my car too. You know, I mean, I've seen, you know, some dark sides. You know, life can be brutal.
Yeah.
Life can be, if you let it. But these are things that, you know, I take blame for. It wasn't, you know, it was things that I did that caused these things. I don't blame anybody else, you know. But those stories now, I own them. They're my stories and they're great stories. And now when I share them with an audience or even with an individual, they're like, you know, how can I own my story? How can I tell my story? How can I embrace my story? Because this is my life.
Yeah.
These are just experiences, and you can go on and change your life. You can.
How did you finally find the turn to change the, you know, the path, that the self-destructive path you were on, to turn it around to get to the right path, if I can say that?
I was lucky. Somebody gave me permission. I was in a low earning wage. I was actually cleaning jets and helicopters, you know, for minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And I saw the lifestyle that the pilots had, but for me, it just looked cool to be flying helicopters. And that's what I really wanted to do, just fly helicopters. Mm-hmm. And so I got up the courage to ask the head of the operation there, you know, what do I have to do to learn how to fly that type of helicopter? And he said to me, he's like, well, how old are you, Tom? And I said, well, I'm 28 years old. He goes, well, you're probably too old to learn how to fly. He's like, where did you go to school? Where did you go to college? and I said, I didn't. He's like, well, you should probably forget about it. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's kind of interesting. But within a couple of weeks, they had hired a young guy like myself. He was around 28 years old as a co-pilot on this helicopter. And I said, how did you get here? What was the, you know, because this is what Bill told me. He told me to forget about it. He's like, oh, you know, forget him. Don't. This is what I did. And he told me what he did. And so I just started taking the steps. And once you have the courage to either ask, right, doors will start to open. And you have to have the wherewithal to open that door a little bit further and have the faith to step into that door or through that door, right? And so that's what I did. And long story short, I went on to become a captain flying jets because opportunities just kept coming my way. That doesn't mean there was struggles along the way. How am I going to pay for flying lessons? And how am I,
because all those things might be quite expensive.
Very expensive. But that's just, you know, that gives you courage and hurdles and struggles. Those are just ways to make you grow more, right? They're just what you have to look at struggles way. Those are opportunities. Same thing with the perception of failure. You know, there's no failure unless you quit. That's the only failure. You just keep trying. I'm gonna go this way. That didn't work. I'm gonna go over, under, whatever I have to do. And most people are not willing to embrace the struggles and the hardships. Yeah. You know, they want to live this big life.
Yeah, they want the hacks. People now are looking for the hacks. They look for the hacks for everything. But unfortunately, there's not many hacks for life. You just have to go through those valleys.
Shortcuts, they may work for the short term, but in the long term, it's just, you know, because it really is about the journey and the personal growth. If I didn't go through all those things, I wouldn't be able to, you know, sit here and have a conversation.
Exactly, because you will not have known any of those.
Absolutely. So, you know, that's how I started my uphill climb success. Yeah. And it's always, you know, you have to define success for yourself.
You know?
Each of us have to do that. But that's what got me out of that spiral that I was in. And one of the worst moments I had was when my mom and dad had to come and visit me and when I was in jail.
Yeah.
And when I made my father cry.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, although we didn't have a great relationship, you know, that really struck me quite a bit, that, you know, you can impact somebody either positively or negatively. Right? by the words you say or the actions you're taking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to realize that when we're speaking with other people, you know, words are very powerful. They're very powerful.
Yeah. So tell me, you talked about when you were a kid and when you were dreaming a lot, you know, you were dreaming, etc. But which job specifically did you want to do when you were a kid?
Oh, I didn't want to do a job. I didn't. I never, you know, my father worked in construction. I never had any aspirations to be like a police officer or firefighter I used to dream about adventure. That's what I used to dream about, you know. We lived near an airport, so that was kind of always in the back of my mind. But, you know, the story with Jacques Cousteau, that just really intrigued me, how this gentleman was traveling around the world, going on all these undersea adventures, but he was a filmmaker, he was a writer, he was a speaker, he was an adventurer, and at the time, as a little boy, he looked like he was 90 years old back then, too, you know? So, I mean, he was just out there doing it, and you know, I was like, wow. You know, and those are things I used to dream about. I didn't, that's the truth, really.
And that's good, because actually you kind of realize your dreams now, because you were just dreaming of all those adventures, and so this is what you are doing now, eventually.
Yeah, you know, my own dreams, but I will go sort of back to the sea. I will, you know, that's part of, you know, what I'm going to be doing in the future as I build my business. There's kind of a reason, you know, I'm into health and wellness and all that, but I have an opportunity because of the mountain climbing. This idea came into my head because I needed to train better so I could climb these big mountains, and sort of the light bulb went off and I came up with this product, and it's taken me some years to go from thought to prototypes and building a business, right? But there is an end game for that too, so I can build my wealth, so I can do the things that more adventures, and even going into outer space, you know? I mean, I look at the people like Elon Musk who are...
Do you want to get to Mars?
Yeah,
how much is it? I think it's only 250 million, or I can't remember how much is it.
Well, I want to be the guy driving the spaceship. I don't want to be a passenger, you know.
That is only one way flight, though.
I know, my wife's not a big fan of that, but I'm like, you know.
There might not be, they are only selling one-way tickets. There's not return.
At the moment.
Okay. So. Tell me, Tom, what is one thing that people still don't know about you?
That I have normal fears. Just like everybody else. I mean, people think, well, you're doing all these things. And then when I tell them, you know, I'm afraid of heights.
Really?
You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I won't go up on a
and
roof.
And then you're going to go to the Mount Kilimanjaro and things like that?
Yeah, I've climbed Kilimanjaro. I've been to Russia and climbed Mount Elbrus. I've been to Aconcagua and the Andes. I've climbed Mount McKinley. I've been, you know, recently I went to the South Pole and climbed the highest peak there. And
how
Everest
can you do that with the fear or hate then?
You just have to step into your fear. You really do, you know. I used to have a fear of getting up in front of a crowd, you know. Yeah. I'd be like frozen. And here I have a passion for getting in front of a crowd and sharing my story, you know. It's kind of strange, I guess, in a way, but, you know, just like my dreams are bigger than my fears. Does that make sense?
That's it. Yes, yes. Usually, yes. That's when you're bigger dreaming than your fears, then you kind of step. This is what you need to do. Have bigger dream than your fear. Therefore, you can overcome them. Wow. Do you still have a fear or hate?
Yes.
Wow, this is also something that I would not climb any kind of Kilimanjaro. I was in Tanzania. The only thing I did was to go and do safari rather than going any closer to Kilimanjaro.
That was one of the best experiences of my life, going there. And you know what's interesting about these adventures that are traveling around the world? It's really the people that you meet. It's, you know, the adventure is one thing, but it's the people that make the adventure. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that will make total sense. This is exactly me as well. So travel is my thing and is those culture, those people who have no common points with you, but who just welcome you as you are, their own blood, and you know, is fascinating to see, you know, how human, you know, are around the world, and how you can see totally different culture, like in, you know, Indonesia, where I was there, I had like the most human, deepest connection ever. So you know, or, you know, you go around the world, and you have like all those kind of, you know, you have nothing in common the day before, and then you now live with them and you become part of family. When you go, you just don't want to go back.
You know, I had an amazing experience in Tanzania when I climbed Kili, and some of the people that I climbed with were from the Swahili tribe. And I found out that, you know, they were always singing, they were always happy. And it wasn't about the money, because I earned, like, they're earning like $3 a day, you know. And here we are, we come over here and we're like, you know, it's kind of sad. But it was just, to me, to see people not care about the money, but it was caring about, they were caring about us and our safety, and you know, on this big climb. And that was my first big climb, really, my first big one, climbing Kilimanjaro. But to interact with the people there, and they were so giving and so loving, and I'm like, how can that be? And over here in the United States, we have everything that you could want, except happiness, seems to be, right? Does that make sense to you?
I mean, it's just,
you know, so that's one of the biggest gifts that I've been, and the same thing happened to me when I went to Argentina, you know, meeting the people over there, and even in Russia, even in Russia, I couldn't believe it. I was partying with the Russian army. and they're like, oh, we're so sorry about Elvis, you know, and Michael Jackson, you know, when he passed away. And they're telling me, we're so sorry, you know. Like, I love Michael Jackson's music too, and Elvis, you know, but you don't have to be sorry. It's, you know, but, you know, they have this perception of America. And we have this perception of, at the time when I was in Russia, of Russia, right, and the people in the military. But, you know, I think when you get down, to the root of things, I think we all are the same.
Of course.
But if you don't know somebody, then you automatically judge, right?
Yeah.
We automatically judge everything.
Yeah.
You know, and it's usually the wrong thing.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. People need to travel more and go and see other people to understand a little bit more about themselves. So tell me, Tom, when actually did you really realize who you are and what you are meant to do in life? I know that you've been dreaming for your young age, but really realizing who you are, if such thing has happened. Some people, I've interviewed people at 70, they still haven't figured it yet. So
No, there was a moment. There definitely was a moment. I was on a flight from Los Angeles to Cincinnati, and it was a red eye flight, you know, and I was the captain and I had my crew with me, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm sitting there and I look around, I see my first officer and my flight engineer, and I'm like, how did I get here? You know, if you look back at my life, everybody was like, you want to become a pilot, and you're nothing but a loser, and all these things. And the journey made me, where I was at that moment. And I'm like, how did I get here? And then I was like, if I can get here, then I can do anything. So then I started planning my exit strategy for the airline and going on. And, I'm like, I'm big into health and wellness and fitness. And, I think I should write a book. I had no idea how to write a book, right? I had no education, but, you pick up the phone. You start asking, how do you write a book?
You go to Mr. Google, how to write a book.
So that's where fear comes in, and having the courage to just step into your purpose and your passion, and all those things that are presented to you. And most people, they may have an idea or a dream, but they talk themselves out of it almost immediately. I don't have the education to write a book, or that kind of thing. But everybody has a story. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Everybody has a story. I think it was Tony Robbins who said, if your life is worth living, it's worth writing about.
That's true.
Everybody has a story.
I've got tons of story. This is just like the first thing. So because when they're going to come, they're going to pour out, I have tons of story ready to come out in the pipeline. So tell me, what did you struggle with the most in life, would you say?
A few things, but self-esteem, confidence, courage. Because I had gone through, made a lot of mistakes in my life, I was afraid to even have a conversation about it, being married, divorced three times, and there's reasons why I got divorced, I was kind of this yes man. Instead of saying no to people, which I say no to people now, I would say yes to people and whatnot. And, usually when I give a talk, I make light of it, I mean, I know what it's like to lose everything a few times, mm-hmm. But if I go back, it's interesting and it's kind of funny. If I go back to high school and I went to a Catholic high school, mm-hmm. and the course that caused me to fail in my senior year and get a blank diploma was a theology course, and the course was marriage, and I failed it.
You should have seen that it was a premonition. It was a warning.
It was a warning. I didn't see the signs, but now it's okay, because it's just a part of the story, and I can laugh about it. I own it. But people will come up to me and when you tell a story like that, then people are like, because you have to be vulnerable, right? You have to be totally transparent and own your story. This is my life. Then people want to share their story. I think people have some amazing stories.
When you say that you struggle the most with like self-confidence and I'm just thinking, usually you think that those are the things that we as women say that we struggle with the most, and then you don't see men usually admitting that they are also, having those kind of low self-confidence issues. When you hear men saying that, I think that it must encourage the men who may think that this is not something they should be talking about. Have you been hearing some men coming to you privately, admitting stuff that they would not admit in public?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's all ego driven, and what society is telling what a man should be. Mm-hmm. Right. And, I'm a person now where I don't listen, I listen, but I forge my own path, you know, and I'm the outlier, I'm the outsider, and I like being that way. Whereas when I was a follower, you know, I used to get into trouble because I'm not following my path, my mission, my purpose. And so I was on this tumultuous journey, which I own now, but now I'm forging my own path. And it's opened up so many possibilities in my life. And I wish more, and I see it all the time, especially in certain industries, you know, where men have to be, well, I'm just, you know, I got it all going on, when they really don't have it all going on, right? And they're afraid to, you know, money's one area. The profession is another area. The home life is another area. Your emotional well-being is another area. Your family is another area. And it takes a lot to be good in all those areas, but you have to devote the time. You have to devote the time to your children, to your business, to your, right? But as men, we're still taught that, well, you're the man, you need to be, you know, and, you know, and that's why I didn't have this relationship with my father, because he ruled with the backhand and the boot, and there was no conversation. Yeah. His rules were, you either go join the service, the Army, Navy, whatever. Mm-hmm. You need to get out of the house, get a job, or go to college. There wasn't like, hey, what would you like to do, Tom? What are you, you know, I mean, never.
Never. Yeah, you know? You have to figure out that yourself, actually. Go back and...
And we can inspire other people, you know. Mm-hmm. But to inspire other people, you have to walk your talk. Mm-hmm. You know, you really have to walk your talk. And so hopefully these days I'm walking my talk. That doesn't, you know, I make mistakes, obviously, and that's okay.
It's funny that you're talking obviously about your father and the way that there was no conversation now, because I was going to ask you actually how your childhood has prepared you to be who you are today.
Yeah, well, I have this picture here. We just found this because I told you my mom passed away, and we're going through all these photos, and I have this picture, and it's, I don't know if you can see it, but
I can see it. That's you. Me. And who is on the other side? Your brother?
That's my older brother. Okay. And I have a younger brother too, but when we found this picture, I'm like, see, that's how I was as a little boy, happy. I was happy as a little boy. And that happiness was taken away from me through school, education. I went to a Catholic school, and I can remember the Sisters of St. Joseph, the nuns, them calling home to my parents and saying, there's something wrong with your son. He's smiling all the time. And you know, they medicated me.
Really? Because you were smiling all the time?
There's something wrong with Tom. He's smiling. He's happy all the time. He must be up to no good. it's true.
No way.
And what happened was, you know, we got the beatings, we got those things, and all that, and it just kind of, it changed me. It really changed me, because as a child, you're influenced by so many things, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you take in all this stuff.
Of course. You want to please everybody. Therefore, you know, you just listen to everybody who tell you stuff.
Yeah. And we're told no so many times. We're told no. There's no reason behind it, but we're just told no. But there is some good that came out of that. The parenting that I got, because I ended up becoming a father, and I had two rules when I became a father, that I lived by: forgiveness and love. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Forgiveness and love, you know? And so my son and I, he's 27, and we hug and we tell each other, I love you, you know, every day, every day. And so, and he told me something recently. He's like, I want to be like you.
Really?
Like, you don't want to go through the things that I went through. And he knows. He knows stuff that, because I told him. You know, he's like, I want to be strong like you. I want to, you know, I want to have that mentality, you know?
Yeah.
And, but that's where the transparency, the honesty, being vulnerable, getting rid of the ego, you know, although some of the things that I do seem to be ego driven, but I'm afraid to do a lot of these things.
Yeah.
But the fear drives me, and it's helping me to help others. So,
yeah.
You know, but going back to my childhood, that's, you know, I was that happy little boy, but now I'm this happy guy now.
Yeah, so that's fascinating, yes, to see the journey and how, you know, the, you know, love and all the other things that you didn't have actually shape you. And then now, as a father, you are just, you know, having those two roles and running your life by. That's really fascinating, how we can sometimes transform what we didn't have, and as it shapes us to get the other
side.
And I also, I think that I do sometimes believe that we get the parent that, not that we want, but the parent that we need to shape us. Or even, you know, we don't like everything they're telling us, but I think that they are there for some reason and we need to learn some lessons. But obviously in the time, during the time, it might not be something very pleasant, but in the hindsight, when you look at that, you might see quite some blessings. Why those people were your parents in the first place.
Right. Well, you know, we can't choose our parents. So, you know, if
perhaps
you don't,
we did choose them to learn the lessons.
Well, I learned lessons, but on my own.
Because of rebelling against them. Because if they were totally different parents, perhaps you would not have learned such lessons to be who you are today.
Sure, but you know, I also think that I was lucky to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was 20, 21, I didn't think I'd make it past 21.
Mm. Why not?
I was I was in a gang, drinking, drugs. You know, if you don't have good mentors in your life, you know, you're going to gravitate to people that are going to take you in, right?
Yes.
And you know, you hear all the stories. Not everybody comes out of that, right? The people don't come out of that. I mean, all the deaths and murders and, drugs and, you know, drinking. And, you know, I remember one Sunday morning when my father came to bail me out of jail. I got caught drinking and driving, you know, driving on the highway the wrong way.
Wow.
The wrong way. And I was very lucky that the police stopped me and I got a good beating, you know, and they threw me in jail and my father came to bail me out the next morning, Sunday morning. And the only thing he said to me on the way home, you know, from the police station was, when is this all going to end? Then he said, I didn't say anything. Then he said it again. When is this all going to end? And he was a man of few words, you know, and I said, I don't know. And it lasted another, I want to say about 5 or 6 years of behavior. Mm. And I was just very fortunate. I'd like to say that aviation saved my life because it gave me a pathway to a better life.
Mm.
And once I saw I could have a better life than the life that I was in, then I chose to pursue that.
Yeah.
And that's what shaped me. But not everybody, not everybody comes out of it.
Yeah.
I believe God gave me those adversities to change people's lives. That's how I look at it now.
Yeah. I think so. I think that, yes, as I was saying earlier, you know, we go through those adversities to make us more empathic, because without that, we might not really understand what other people are going through the same way. Now you've been through that yourself. You definitely can understand and perhaps inspire people who do that. Do you do any kind of mentorship to men or, you know?
When I have time right now, I'm mentoring a young girl. She's actually my son's age, a little bit older. Giselle is 29.
Mm.
and going through some horrible times, you know, and she opened up to me and she knows my story, you know, but I don't, now I do it more through speaking and through books, and I don't have the really the time for one-on-one. My goal is to reach others through mediums, you know, through, I'm doing more and more podcasts, I'm doing more speaking, changing people's lives through, I believe, for me, it starts with taking care of the body, right? Taking care of the body. That means eating right, moving, move to live.
Yes.
Different types of exercise, you know, so you can be strong physically, emotionally, and mentally, you know. And I used to do more of it, the mentoring, and I would train people, then I would take them on a climb. So, you know, that, because that kind of pushes them, gets them out of their comfort zone versus just getting in the gym kind of thing, scaring them a little bit, you know. But I enjoy it, but I want to do it on a larger scale, than just one-on-one. But now I'm, you know, mentoring, and she's a family member. So that's why I'm kind of doing that. And it's interesting, though, you know, you can, when you open up and you're totally vulnerable to other people and totally transparent, that kind of gives them permission to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And then they'll tell you their stories.
Yeah.
You know, but you also have to be walking your talk. And they have to want to be mentored.
Yes, of course. You can't drag somebody to against their will to be mentored. Okay, so now let's talk about our next section about money. So what are the current way, the way that you currently make money?
Okay, speaking, selling books, flying a jet and flying a helicopter. And now we just added another source of income, and that's through my Total Motion 360. So we started last year doing corporate wellness. So somebody that, in talking about mentoring, I mentored a gentleman who owns a large law firm, and I trained him, took him on a climb, you know, and he had a fear of climbing stairs. He just had this fear of, so I would take him on the stairs. So I trained him. And he knew what I was doing with this product that I had invented. And he gave me an opportunity because of what he went through and changed his life. And so that was my first sort of foray into taking my product and training his people, right? And he made it a part of, you know, because he realized that if you have healthier employees, you're going to have usually happier employees, right? And if you have happier employees, they're going to be more productive, and they're just going to, you know, it just kind of snowballs.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that's the other revenue stream. And now, like I said, this morning I was on a call, and we're building this team of amazing people. And it involves social media marketing and branding, which, you know, I'm not very good at, you know, you know, because you can't, what you can't know everything.
Yeah. It's not your ministry, as they say. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you just keep to, you know, climbing, and you delegate the whole thing to other people.
Exactly. You know, and it is about bringing other people in and building a team and leadership. Right. So, but those are the revenue streams that I have, and it's just going to grow from there. We're just, you know, I'm very excited about the whole thing.
I'm very blessed. I love that. When you say corporate wellness, that means that you train people in corporate? Is that what you do?
Yeah, corporations will bring us in.
Yeah.
And it's my way of using my product. And we focus on functionality, meaning, you know, not just building big muscles so you can look better, you know, that kind of thing, but so you can be functional at work, so you can be functional at home, going grocery shopping, picking up the kids, or, you know, all those things. So we work on balance, core, strength, flexibility, pliability. And, you know, and since I went to culinary school, this was some years ago, because I wanted to learn more about nutrition and how to feed the body, you know, we work on that also.
What kind of culinary stuff do you do?
Well, I learned all the traditional foods, you know. I learned French and I learned Italian and I learned how to make sushi and Thai and even bread baking and even pastry baking, you know, and cakes and all those things. And I put a healthy twist on things. And, you know, I'm not a person who takes any kind of supplements because I don't believe in supplementation. I believe in what God put in the earth. And that's how our body is fed, because this was some years ago. I was looking at making my own supplement brand. And then when I started looking at how supplements are made and all the ingredients and falsehoods that are in them, I'm like, this, you know, but that's what people are sold today. And there's, it's just not a good thing. So
what do you eat then in order to not take the supplements?
My diet consists of mostly fruits and vegetables and lean proteins. So the things that I love broccoli, asparagus, spinach, avocado.
You love all the healthy food, obviously.
But, you know, I learned how to cook them, you know, blanching them and adding garlic and olive oil and, you know, using proper salts, Himalayan salt or sea salts, fleur de sel, you know, so just natural things, because that's what the body recognizes. The body doesn't recognize processed foods. And that's why most people are getting, you know, different forms of cancer. People are addicted to salt, sugar, and fat. People are becoming obese eating processed foods. And that's why there's type 2 diabetes, all these heart diseases. And it doesn't need to be. But, you know, as human beings, we're so easily coerced or sold into, you know, what everybody else is doing, you know. And even you see, you know, talking about branding and social media, you know, companies are allowed to say, yes, you know, oh, this new meatless burger that Burger King is putting out, and it's so unhealthy for you when you'd rather just go have the regular beef.
Yes, exactly. Than the non one. Than the non beef, exactly, which has so many other stuff that are so bad, even including the light version of stuff as well.
Oh, it's terrible. And I tell people, become your own doctor. Become your own doctor. And, you know, I only go to the doctor because I have to get a flight physical, because I'm still flying jets and helicopters. And when I went last time, I go every 6 months, the doctor was like, well, I think, Tom, you should get, you know, have some blood work done up. You know, we'll just check it and, you know, maybe we'll put you on something or whatever. And I said, no, you know, I'm not going to do that. He goes, well, how old are you, Tom? And I said, I'm not, you know, I'm not old. And so he's like, okay, I see where you're going with this. And if a doctor doesn't look like me, talk like me, walk like me, and think, you know, then why would I listen to somebody who is usually overweight himself, maybe smoking, and I'm going to listen to you?
Yeah.
That's kind of my philosophy. It really is. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, you go to a doctor who's overweight. Yeah, so yeah, so much stuff with those you know, yes, on industrial things that we've been putting in our body, you know, trying to get clean of all of those things as well. Tell me, so now the other question about money is that sometimes, you know, people do what they love. You might know that as well, you know, but get, you know, paid very little for it. Another time, people, you know, don't love what they are doing, but get paid well for it. So is there a way, how can we do both what we love and get paid well for it?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to be in tune with what your purpose and passion are. You know, if you're, you know, I was at a women's business on Long Island group, I gave a talk. And usually during the talk, I take some Q&A, you know, questions and answers kind of deal. And I like that, although it can, you know, be a little bit distracting. But a woman was telling me, she's like, you know, I get paid a lot of money doing what I do. And I think she may have been in real estate or law or something, but she's like, I make a lot of money. And I'm like, well, are you happy? She's like, no, I'm miserable. And I'm like, so what's the point of that? You know, because I was talking about doing what you love to do, changing your life to do what you love to do because you only have one life. Why would you be miserable and unhappy? And I've met billionaires and who are miserable. And I met, you know, multimillionaires, people worth $500 million or more, who would give up all that money to have their health back, right? So I believe you can have both, but I think you have to ask for the money too. You know, when you find your purpose and you're passionate about your purpose, you will find a way to make the money doing it. And, you know, it could be writing, it could be speaking, it could be whatever it is. But, you know, this day and age, I think it's easier than ever because you can reach the entire world, right?
Yeah.
With a phone. You know, this is our computer. This is our, you know, you can be anywhere and build a business.
Yes,
with this. You know, obviously.
Smartphone entrepreneur, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you have to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I believe if you found your purpose, then you'll be able to get through the struggles and the hard times of if it is building that business, right? Mm. And I believe what we talked about earlier, that money is important. You know, anybody that tells you it's not important,
it's
I think
broke.
Because you can do so many things with money, right? You can do so many. You can build a great life. You can help others, right? You can help others. You can, any charity you want to, you know, you can.
Yeah.
You can. So there, you know, I'm in my own way right now of building the business. You know, I know my purpose. I'm passionate about it. You know, I believe that the good Lord gave me this idea for my fitness product. And he's showing me the way. And I'm like, I want to be abundant too.
Yes.
I want, like, you know, if you ask, you have to ask and it shall be given. Right?
Yeah.
You have to ask. If you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah, definitely. So tell me, actually, how can you give us a few tips of people who are still figuring out their purpose, how to find their purpose?
What I usually tell people, and this is what worked for me, is go back to your childhood and the things you used to dream as a child. Because when you were a child, anything was possible. Right? There were no limits until they were taken away from us, right?
You wanted to become a dinosaur or everything, yes.
Anything, right? Anything.
Mm-hmm.
And go back to those dreams and start dreaming again.
Yeah.
You know, and the other part of that, though, is, you know, listen. Don't listen to your head. Listen to your heart.
Okay. How do you listen to your heart? Give us some clue. How do you get to listen to your heart?
I can only tell you that because I've made all the mistakes by listening to, you know, my head and, you know, thinking, being sort of more structured. But when I listen to my heart will tell me, because there's that brain heart too, right?
Yeah.
Brain heart and your gut. You know, if you listen to your intuition, you know, for me, that's God speaking to me, telling me, because I'm on my path, you know, I want to inspire people. So he gave me this life to share with others, you know, and I think we all have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it easy? I think if you have the ability to listen to this versus your head, because society is up here.
Yeah.
Right. all the teachers and the parenting and all that, everybody's telling you no, you can't, and putting limitations on your life.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, I believe the only limitations are the ones that we put on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm finding out every day that I can push my limits. There's ways to do it. There are physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, there are ways to do it. But to start that journey, start with that dream that you may have had when you're a little child.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what worked for me.
Yeah, that's awesome, actually. And I think that, yes, going back to dreaming is the first thing, actually. I also say that to people. You know, we got to start dreaming again, because if you don't dream, you know, yeah, so you can't really pinpoint what is that thing, because there's so many conflicting things that you could be doing. And when you think of them, you again find something that is not your passion, and then because you are driven by something else. So, you know, taking some time to dream is very important.
Absolutely, absolutely. I gave a talk at the University of Toronto. And I was invited up there by a professor, and he's a friend, Dr. Greg Wells. And we were talking, I had just come back from Antarctica, and we were talking in his office, and it was interesting because he told me, we were in his office, and he got up out of his desk, he closed the door, and he's a professor up there, and you know, PhD. And he goes, Tom, if I have one more year here, I'm going to blow my brains out.
Really?
He was so unhappy.
Really?
So unhappy, because we were talking about what we're talking about now, pursuing your dreams and your passions. And so then the next thing he said, he's like, hey, I have to give a class, my PhD class, in about 10 minutes. Would you like to give the class? Yeah, let's go. And I gave the class, and we talked, you know, it was just conversation about my life and pursuing dreams. And for me, it was amazing. What a gift, right? Mm-hmm. To talk to PhD students and hear, you know, I have no college. But I spoke with Dr. Wells, Dr. Greg, a couple of weeks later, and he's like, this is what he told me. He's like, I was in the hallway. I was walking, you know, to my class, and I bumped into one of the students that was in the class that you taught that day, a young lady. And he said to her, he's like, hey, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm rethinking my life after that talk that Tom gave, because she was in that PhD class because her parents wanted her to be there.
Of course.
Right? She was trying to please her parents.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to words, you never know, the words that you speak could have a positive or a negative impact on somebody, correct?
That's so true. Yes, that's a really powerful story. We need to give people permission to dream again, actually. I think that people have stopped dreaming. They say, well, I'm too old, I'm married, I have kids, I have mortgage, etc. So I'm no longer going to dream. And actually, you can dream at any time, even if you're 100 years old. You know, like I don't know if you've seen this in US, one guy, a veteran from British Army, here in the UK, he was approaching his 100th anniversary during this quarantine, you know, because he was at home. He say, well, you know, my birthday is coming in a month, but I don't have much to do. What I can do to support our NHS, which is the National Health Service, for taking care of people and giving them you know, hope and things, that is that I can walk at least, you know, he's 99 year old, I can walk at least in my garden and do 100 laps, and then at least, you know, and I can put like a just giving page or something, and then it will inspire people to give. I think his target was £1,000 or something. You know how much this guy has raised now?
How much?
Guess how much?
Millions? I don't know.
£50 million and plus. That was a few weeks ago. But just to tell you, even at close to a few days to your 100th day, things can happen. This guy overnight became a sensation.
Yes.
He has now been knighted by the Queen. He's been interviewed across the world. He's becoming a celebrity. My gosh, this is somebody who was almost like close to dying, close to his grave, getting everything that he never ever had before in the first 9 years of his life. How amazing is that? Because he just dreamed that perhaps I could do 100 laps of my garden. I'm no longer very strong, but at least I can do that. I can dream of doing that. And, you know, perhaps people are going to support me. And
exactly.
The rest is history. He's exactly. Like Captain Tom. Now he's Sir Captain Tom. You know, just in a few months' time, he became the hero of the nation and beyond the nation.
Wow. Amazing.
Very, very important. Don't stop dreaming at any age. So that is going to be, so whatever age you are, never stop dreaming.
Perfect. Wow. I'm going to look that story up.
Yes. Check Captain Tom, UK, and then you're going to see everything. American TV has covered him all over the world. You know, he's like amazing, amazing, amazing story.
That inspires me.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, I'll send you some links if you want to later.
Please do,
Yeah. So now we come to building a movement, our final part of this conversation. So which movement are you leading or would like to be part of?
The health and wellness movement. You know, that's my goal right now. Mm-hmm. But there's some underlying things, inspiration, you know, motivation, you know, but really, like we talked about earlier in the talk, you know, if you don't take care of this, you know, just like this gentleman, you know, who turned 100,
yeah,
you know,
Captain
he
Tom.
Changed people's lives just by him moving, right? Just by
exactly. Exactly. And the next thing, obviously, I can tell you is that he has inspired other older people, all the disabled who couldn't even walk have been inspired and did the amazing thing because he, you know, beyond even the money bit, he has inspired so many range of people actually to go out there and do something. And yeah, so we've been seeing some amazing, amazing thing happening just because of this man actually.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that's my thing too. I see, you know, so many people that are sick and there's no need for it. So that's kind of my deal, you know, because without my health and wellness, I can't go climb mountains. I can't be flying. I can't be, you know, doing all these things. So that's, for me, that's job one. Health and wellness. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. So, and how do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be remembered as a risk taker. You know, I'm always, I'll risk everything. You know, I'll risk the money. I'll risk, although, you know, with climbing mountains and flying and whatnot, I do a lot of planning. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some calculated risks there for sure, you know, because I don't want to be foolish with my life. Mm-hmm. Okay. I did that earlier in my early days. But I want to be known as a risk taker and somebody who inspired others to live their best life. That's it. You know, pretty simple.
Yeah, cool. So how did you learn, actually, what did you learn from all your experience that you most want to transmit to others?
Faith over fear and believe in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, try not to listen to too many other people. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the philosophy of become a student and not a follower.
Mm.
Right? You know, become a student of life and not a follower.
Yeah.
But really, really believe in yourself and you can achieve anything you want to.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's super. So what would you say is your definition of meaningful work and meaningful life?
I have a quote here that I'd like to read.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a an adventurer, and it's really what passion is. And if I can read it to you,
yeah,
you know, to give totally in the pursuit of one's purpose is the ultimate gift to self and to mankind.
Mm-hmm. So, and who is it? Who is the author again?
Me.
Oh, okay. because you said that it was from somebody.
it's a little funny, but.
Okay, is it from one of your book?
No, I just, that, you know, I have two books out now, but that's something that, you know, pursuing and giving everything into the pursuit, you know, mm-hmm. and is sort of a gift to yourself and a gift to others.
Yeah, that's super.
So, yeah, I just, you know, I'm very passionate about my life, and I'm very passionate about people, and I want to see people succeed, and it bothers me when I see people hurting, you know, especially now with all the things that are going on in the world and in the country, not only with health and wellness, but socially what's going on and racism. And it's just, you know, and I want us to get back to a place of, like I talked about with my son, forgiveness and love. Mm-hmm. Right, forgiveness and love. Yeah. And I think if we kind of rule our lives with those two things, that's it for me, you know. I mean, I have I call it my three P's. Mm-hmm. You know, my purpose, my passion, my principles.
Okay.
You know, my principles are forgiveness and love. Mm. To serve, positive leadership integrity. You know, integrity is the value that governs all values, I believe. Mm. And then truth and health. Those are my principles. Those are my principles that I live by.
That is wonderful. Do you have any last piece of guidance that you'd like to pass on to our listeners to do more meaningful work and live a meaningful life?
Like I said, pursue your dreams. You know, pursue your dreams. And I'd like people to reach out to me, you know, if they can, you know, either through email or, you know, I have my own personal website, I'm selling my books, and, you know, my books are all about goal setting and health and adventure.
What are the name of your books?
The first book is Ageless You. You know, how to live a long, healthy life.
Yeah.
And the second book is Ageless You Adventure. Mm. And we're actually offering a discount. Mm-hmm. And I will send a autographed copy, you know, if people get my book. And they can use the code Meaningful Work.
That's super.
That's a good code.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so I'll put the links later in the show notes, actually. Is it on your website? Where are those books?
It's on my website, you know. Yeah, and that's where, if you go to the website, then I can autograph.
Your website is tomfabry.com, yeah?
Tomfabry.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so super. So, where do you hang out? Where people can reach to you if they want to, get in touch or know a little bit more about what you do?
Yeah, either the website, Instagram, mm-hmm. which is Life Wrangler. Mm-hmm. So I used to have a personal assistant. This was years ago. And she wanted to get to know me, and she's like, "Oh, what do you do?" And I told her everything I'm doing. She's like, "Oh, you're wrangling life." So mm-hmm. I have this Instagram, Life Wrangler, mm-hmm. LinkedIn, Tom mm-hmm. Fabry, LinkedIn,
yeah,
Facebook. So all the usual, you know, media platforms.
Yeah, that's cool. That is wonderful, Thomas. It was a wonderful, wonderful time to have you and share all your gems, your wisdom with all our listeners. I really enjoyed our conversation and learned a lot. Yes, thank you very much for being on the show, Tom.
Thank you. You're a gem yourself. You're a pleasure. Definitely. I wish you well and
thank
much success.
Much.
And you're definitely a life changer and on your way.
Thank you very much. That's all, you know, we are all doing our best touching lives of people and helping people to live this meaningful work, this meaningful life and do meaningful work, which is my passion. Thank you again, Tom.
Thank you. And I'm going to finish your book, okay? It's personal branding. It's I'm like right in the middle of it. So, you know, I'm going to finish it and I'll reach out to you. I'll give you
definitely.
Some
thank you. Let me know.
Okay. Thanks, Francine.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is the last episode of this season 6. I hope that you have enjoyed this season and really got a great insight. So if you love it, let me know. Share with me on my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. Go on to my website, francinebelli.com/podcast. And my handle, Francine Belli. And you can just really reach out and let me know about your thoughts, how you have also loved this series. And again, I have a survey for my listeners. If you are listening to me, please go on my website, francinebelli.com/podcast, and fill out the survey, because I'd love to know more about you, because I am going to bring you a great series for this season 7. My next season, this season 7, is all based on money. I have a great lineup of money experts who are going to tell us a lot about money, how we can attract and retain more money and also have a very healthy relationship with money. If you have got some issues around money, you definitely want to tune into this season 7 that is coming up soon. If you are a purpose-driven entrepreneur and are struggling to attract and enroll your ideal client, apply to a complimentary mini brand audit session with me so I can look at where you are at with your brand, where you want to be, and together we'll look at the biggest things that are getting in your way of building the business you're dreaming of. Go to francinebelli.com/audit, that's francinebelli.com/audit. I only have few spots open every week, so you want to go there right now. So thank you for listening. The show notes of this episode of Meaningful Work, Meaningful Life are available on my webpage, francinebelli.com/podcast, with all the references and resources shared on this show. If you've enjoyed this podcast and want to show your love and support, share it with your friends and colleagues on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to the Meaningful Work, Meaningful Life podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all the app where you are listening to this podcast, so you don't miss any new episodes. And leave me also a cool review, because it's going to mean that a lot of people are going to see that and it's going to help me spread this message to many more people. So I'll see you next time. Until then, dream, act, and make an impact. Lots of love.